This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Good evening. Always a pleasure. Tis never a chore. My name is Vinny. I am a talk radio announcer. That was superfluous information. You probably got that from the fact that you're listening to the radio and I'm talking. But in case there's anyone that's not the quickest of cats, that's filled in a few blanks. Vinny's the name. I'm here for an hour. The game, you ask, what's that? Bit of banter. Nothing too intense. Actually, not normally intense, but I have got a bit of a problem with this whole voting for debacle. So I might have to have a little bit of a rant in a second. But first, let's tell you what's coming up on the show in my new improved DJ voice. DJ Voice will be here for the beginning of every show to get you in the mood and excited about all the events that are coming up. Coming up. Imagine if I spoke like that all the time. You do find some people in music radio end up like that because you're encouraged when you work in music radio. You're encouraged to do that. That kind of Bryan Adams after the break. And actually, no, you can't say after the break because if you say break in music radio, people tune out. So you say Bryan Adams coming up in just a minute, which is a lie because ads usually run for about 4 minutes. Paid to lie. That's what those people do in the music world. Not here, sweet cheeks. Truths. Nothing but. So I won't do that voice throughout the show. It's weird, though. I used to work with a guy in Ottawa who had spoken like that for about 30 years. And he was a heavy smoker. And I once went into a shop with him. And he said, do you have any Moria Light? And I thought, are you selling them or do you actually want a pack? He did it for everything. Be careful you don't get hit by a car. There's a car coming. You can't take anyone seriously. So I won't do that. You will have to put up with this accent, though. Not much I can do about that. I attempted to lose it. Not that hard, really, in 8 years. So you're sort of stuck with this. Coming up tonight, we talk about the Fords. We talk about the Catholic Church. Two light topics. Always a light topic with that, isn't it? Fords probably have not done anything exciting. They never really get in the news for anything. And the Catholic Church have got a history of doing everything, I would say, pretty much perfectly. So that should be good. When it gets too heavy, fear not. We've had some very good interviews later on with Rose Reisman, celebrity chef. And she'll also be at an event that's coming up this week called Eat to the Beat. And also we'll talk to someone from a community food centre about another event that's coming up on Wednesday. Again, food-themed and groovy and good for the world. So a bit of chat, bit of banter, you get the idea. Get involved, 416 872 1010. Text the show on 71010 about anything you like, really. I mean, within reason. Don't just, like, phone up and go, what was the biggest dinosaur? You know, it's going to throw people. The internet's for that. So anything-ish, you know. Is my wife having an affair? I don't know. I just don't know. I hope not. But, you know, phone up for anything within reason, whatever that reason might be. Let's start with this. It's annoying that I have to. Some months ago, you may remember that I said, I'm not going to talk about the Fords anymore. And then I lied, didn't I? I was a liar because they made me do it. Not in a sort of satanic I'm being puppeted by them way. Although sometimes I do wake up in cold sweats wondering if he's having... wonder if he's lying on top of me. I'm not sure if that's something I'm enjoying or scared of. It's a sort of a weird blend between a nightmare and a homosexual erotic dream. But no, I want to not talk about the Fords, but yet again, they've done stuff that makes me talk about them. It never stops. It never stops. It's like plate spinning, you know? Like in cheap circus acts. Pop a plate up, spin it. That will be, you know, whether it be that plate be a drug scandal or some lewd language or, I don't know, not cooperating with police or doing some idiotic heavy-handed policy or pushing a woman over at City Hall. Whatever the plate is that's spinning, you think, oh, I'll fall off in a minute. And invariably, such is the law of gravity and time, that it does fall off. And then what happens? They put another plate on! Another plate! And they spin it! So what have they done now? Well, for those listening abroad and, you know, that have stopped caring, 99% of the show, I would imagine, in this case, quick update. Ford, Rob Ford, did loads of stuff. Probably noticed it if you weren't locked up. And now he's got cancer, so one would assume then that he will be standing very much down and out of the way while his brother takes the reins. Bizarre twist there. Looks like some sort of family dynasty that I didn't know was capable in Canadian politics. But nonetheless, his brother is running for mayor, and his name is Doug. He looks like slightly smaller and cuter. Oompa Loompa. And so he's running, and yeah, I mean, it's just you would think if you had cancer that, and you're already the mayor of Toronto, although you've been stripped of all your powers, you'd think you'd probably just get on with your life and, you know, think about what's important, your family. But no, no, because what did Rob Ford do today? Well, I'll tell you what he did. He drove people to a polling station again. In fact, he drove people to a polling station, not necessarily, I would think, to hold a gun at their head and ask them to vote for his brother. But despite the fact this man has cancer, he drove people to a polling station and then hung around so long that yet again, not for the first time, he was asked to leave. Do you know why? Because you shouldn't really campaign at polling stations, because that's not really how democracy works. He said this.
People want to lift, so I just drop people off. People, like, if anybody would come up to me and say, take me to the polling station, I'd bring them to my car and drop them off at the polling station.
Get that? People want to lift. So I just drop people off, he said. And I love this about him. He always explains, like, it's like everyone that listens to him doesn't speak English. He always then explains what that means. You know, people want a lift, so I just drop people off. Then he goes on to say, if anybody would come up to me and say, take me to a polling station, I'd bring them in my car and then drop them off at the polling station. He breaks it down, in case you didn't get it. You know, in case you were thinking, but how? Are you going to jet ski them? It's 5 degrees today. You know?
People want a lift, so I just drop people off. People, like, if anybody would come up to me and say, take me to the polling station, I'd bring them to my car and drop them off at the polling station.
Love it. I'd bring them into my car. I wouldn't strap them to the roof. I'd bring them into the car. And then I'd drive them to the polling station. If they want a lift to the polling station, I'd bring them into the car. And then drive them there to the polling... All right, I get it! Now, my position on this would be that that's not your job. But I'm wrong, because I always am. Because he goes on to say...
I'm going to go and I'm going to help people vote. And that's what my job is.
Yeah, I'm a foreigner. What do I know? The mayor of Toronto's job is to drive people to a polling station.
I'm going to go and I'm going to help people vote. And that's what my job is.
That's what my job is, apparently. So, again, I was wrong. I'm always wrong with these guys. Do you know what I mean? I thought that saying that thing about your wife's cat, I thought that was rude. I was wrong. I'm going to go what? What does he say?
I'm going to go and I'm going to help people vote. And... that's what my job is.
So, in my ignorance, as a very stupid man, I thought I would look up what the role of Mayor of Toronto is. And the City Hall breaks this down in many communications, and I'll run you through them. And we'll just check that he's doing them all correctly, all right? And just so we're very clear on this, I don't wish any illness of any description on any people. However, I am of the fairly firm standing that if you have cancer... you're probably not going to be as good at your job as you were before you had cancer. I think you'd agree with that. So, the role of the Mayor of Toronto, although apparently he thinks it's to drive people to a polling station, is in fact to act as Chief Executive Officer. I would say, impeded by cancer. Right? Provide information and make recommendations to council with respect of council's role in ensuring that administrative policies are in place... to implement the decisions of council and ensuring the accountability and transparency of the operations in the city. Transparency, quite a key word there, isn't it? Rob Ford, the man that will not help police with their inquiries into his deplorable illegal wrongdoings. Transparency, supposed to have that. Okay, right. What else is the role of Mayor of Toronto? Apparently it's to drive people to a polling station, but according to the old stupid city, what do they know, it's actually not true. One of the other duties is to preside over meetings of council so that its business can be carried out efficiently and effectively. Yeah. I would say it's probably impeded by lies and destructive behaviour, unless you think that pushing a woman to the ground is normal. And again... probably impeded by cancer. The other role of Mayor of Toronto, in case you didn't know, because apparently none of us do, provide leadership to the council. This has been disallowed, of course, since his powers were removed in an uprising this year. Also, I would say, impeded by cancer. And also to represent the city at official functions. That's the actual role. This he has done. Yeah? Oh, unless those events involve gay people, of course. Then there's uphold and promote the purposes of the city, locally, nationally and internationally. That's what the mayor should be doing. Well, great job on Jimmy Kimmel. That was good. Getting verbally and intellectually destroyed. And more of a crime, in my opinion, failing to get any of his jokes. So well done there. Global embarrassment. Good work. And, of course, promote public involvement in the city's activities. Promote public involvement in the city's activities, which he translates as drive people to polling stations and hang around until you're told to leave. But in actual fact, I would say that he probably should be promoting other city activities. The role of the mayor as head of council is not to throw an unprovable, arbitrary and ever-changing figure around, like, I don't know, $1 billion, I think he's saying recently, on how much you think you've saved people, a number that fails to look at the lack of progress in infrastructure, a city which, for example, still takes only cash in some places in exchange for the small tokens that you get that then get you onto a vintage bumper car. So, you know, you saved $1 billion, you say, could have popped a bit of cash into something other than saving. So there you are. But apparently it's to drive people to a polling station.
I'm going to go and I'm going to help people vote. And that's what my job is. People want to lift, so I just drop people off. People, like, if anybody would come up to me and say, take me to the polling station, I'd bring them to my car and drop them off at the polling station.
It's a little bit Goodfellas, isn't it? Although he's got a higher voice. Have you ever noticed that? Do that bit again. People want to lift.
People want to lift. So people want to lift. People off. People, like,
I just drop people
would come
off.
Up to me and say, take me to the polling station, I'd bring them to my car. Drop him off at the polling station.
Okay, so I got some guy's head in the trunk. What? What do you got with that? People want a lift. I just drop them off. Sometimes I don't persuade them. I tell them, what's wrong with that? I don't know. I mean, I'm not very good at accents, apart from this one, which I can't get rid of, and the attempt at Canadian, which is so embarrassing that every time I do it, I get complaints. And I've been trying for 8 years. It's awesome, see? That's it. That's the only word I can do. Awesome. If this show is just 60 minutes of me being enthusiastic, you'd probably think I was Canadian. But when I diversify away from awesome, I sound ridiculous. Anyway, so there you go. The Mayor of Toronto still going and still insisting that his job is to drive people to polling stations. They'd be setting cars on fire in Paris if this happened there. Here, it's like, oh, is he still going? Oh, I'm just going to watch Game of Thrones. Is he talking again? Oh, is his brother running there? That's interesting. Starbucks have got that new coffee in. That's nice. It's a bit stronger than the last one. Oh, Tim Hortons have got that dark roast as well. He's done what? He's got a cancer. Oh, that's sad. Oh, I guess he's stood down, is he? Still? Oh, no, he's stood down, but his brother's running. But he's what? He's still a councillor. That's amazing. Is Wonderland still open? Because it's getting a bit nippy. Is it still open? You know. I don't know what goes on. I think I'm going to try reverse psychology because I come on here every week say I'm not going to talk about him and then I talk about him, slag him off, and then he just comes back with more vengeance. So if you're listening, Rob and Doug, stay. Get more involved in Toronto's communities. Take up more time on air and feel free to set up a cartel. The Toronto Sun, by the way, officially don't love you anymore. They've gone officially for John Tory. So they don't love you. But I do. And I want you to stay. Please don't stay. Yeah. Any texts? Oh, there's loads. 71010 if you want to text in. First one that comes in. Repeat after me. I hate the Fords. Just friggin' saying, he says. Next one says, they're like whack-a-moles. Yeah, they are a bit. Yeah. Up, one goes down, one goes down, one comes up, one comes down. Text the show 71010. Coming up after the break, we talk about the Catholic Church and the recent events there this week. I think we're going to do some more lighter stuff as well. We're going to talk about a fantastic upcoming event called Eat to the Beat. And the Community Food Centres of Canada have launched a really cool event coming up again this week, Restaurants for Change. All that on News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show. On In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yeah, you are. 416-872-1010 if you want to get involved. You can always text the show anything you like on 71010 as well. My name's Vinnie White. I'm with you through till 10 o'clock tonight. We just talked about those people and their peculiar tactics. I got a text here that's quite interesting. It's not my words, but a text. He probably, he being Rob, I would assume, bullies them into his car and then pays them $50 to go and get their vote. This is too much, they say. Someone else very kindly said, you're a D-head, which is rich, coming from someone that doesn't understand the rule of an apostrophe. I think the English accent helps to be just that little bit more patronising and condescending in situations like that. I do hope so. Gayness. I'm not a homosexual, but I quite like gay people. I'm from Brighton, which is a town in the south of England, which has, last time I checked, more gays per capita than anywhere in Europe. I don't think there's more gays per capita than San Francisco. I'm not sure. I'd have to fact check that. But I'm from a very gay town, and it's cool because it means there's loads of chicks. Bonus. And also because gay men really can't be bothered with the idiocy of getting drunk and having fights. Because they don't want to get their shirts dirty. They very often it's a safe and wonderful place to go out. So if you ever find yourself in the south of England, go to Brighton. Very gay and very groovy. And maybe it's that made me have quite a sort of, I don't know, dare I use the word liberal on talk radio? Liberal agenda when it comes to being gay. If you want to be gay, be gay. It really, great. Well, funnily enough, if you want to be gay, be gay. And even if you don't want to be gay and you are gay, you're still gay. So it's not actually necessarily fair to say it's if you want to be because it isn't a choice. Anyway, let's not get bogged down with all that. But the point is that the Catholic Church has had a very interesting past when it comes to gayness. And interesting, I'm using possibly the most polite word that I could in this situation. But this week, Catholic bishops scrapped their landmark Welcome to the Gays. I was really shocked to hear it come about and then shocked to see it go. You know, a bit like a streetcar. Showing deep divisions at the end of a two-week meeting sought out by the Pope, attempt to be groovy, I think that's what he's called. The Cardinals failed to approve even a watered-down section on being more accepting of homosexuals. They rewrote the welcoming tone of acceptance contained in a draft document earlier this week. So draft document comes out, a little bit more groovy and welcoming to the gay people, and then it's like, what? You're going to say what? Let's pop that away. Can't be doing with the gayness. Well, that's my synopsis. Let's look at it slightly more in depth. Rather than considering gays as individuals who had gifts to offer the church, the revised paragraph referred to homosexuality as one of the problems Catholic families have to confront. It did say, this document, people with homosexual tendencies must be welcomed with respect and delicacy. But the Vatican, which is so far behind the rest of the world, I think they're just getting into Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer, teach that marriage is only between man and a woman, of course. Now, if you're in a... Well, they teach that. Do they teach that, though? Because it depends where you are, doesn't it? If you're in oh-so-liberal Uganda, it teaches that you're better off being dead than gay. And if you're in Ireland and you've been interfering with little boys, it just says, you might have to move house. Historically speaking, broadly speaking, the paragraph failed to reach the two-thirds majority needed to pass, so it was removed. Now, I actually genuinely feel sorry for the Pope on this one, because he's very much Pope have a go, isn't he? He's much better than the last one. Remember the last one that said condoms spread AIDS in Africa, not impede it? Nice! A statement so warped you'd think it come from a Toronto mayor, high as a kite. But nonetheless, he said that, didn't he, the last one? He said AIDS... won't be stopped with condoms. If anything, condoms spread AIDS. Pop yourself down to a bit of the old basic biology, mate. Have a quick read up. I think you find your facts are wrong. You're in a very peculiar position there as well, because people listen to you, so it's not really that clever to be throwing out incorrect facts. But, having said all that, as I go back, this Pope, groovy, he's having a go. He drafted this document that wanted to be more welcoming to people. He's trying to introduce new ideas into the Vatican, an organisation full of cardinals, which, by the way, the average age is 65.7. Right? And many of them are in their 80s. So asking them to understand gay people and the modern globalised free world is like driving into a retirement community in Florida and asking them to DJ some fresh dubstep beats. It's tricky. It's tricky. So we'll keep our eyes on it. They'll change. Hey, give them time. Couple hundred years, they'll come round. Toronto, here we are in this beautiful city. And wouldn't it be good if we had some events? Now the old chilly weather's coming in. I want something to give me a spring in my step and maybe a little bit of food in my belly, but make me feel groovy about the world where you live in. Well, there's two events this week, and I'm going to do a really quick break, and then when we come back, I'm going to talk to Rose Reisman, celebrity chef, at one of those events. So, quick couple of spots, and we'll come back, talk to Rose, and find out more about the event this week here in Toronto.
This is the Vinnie White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Bum, 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 bum. I moved to, my friend calls it Douchebagville. I think that's a bit unfair, particularly now that I live there. King West. I mean, I get it. There's a lot of Ferraris and people going, yeah, ciao. Yeah, ciao. Yeah, can I get a vanilla latte? Yeah, to go, ciao. That's what King West like. I moved there from Parkdale, so it's like two completely different worlds. Parkdale's a bit more kind of, hey man, groovy, crazy. And King West is a bit more kind of, I'm wearing a suit and I've got loads of money and I need everyone to know it around me. And so I'm not sure I really fit in because I haven't got a lot of money. I don't wear a suit and I don't really care what people think of me. So, but having said that, it's cool and there's some groovy restaurants in the area. I really like it. But my rent's high, so as a result, I need to plug my businesses. I'm sort of, it's not unapologetic, it's apologetic promotion. Sorry, I've moved to a lifestyle that I can't afford. So here's the plugs. Do you need to learn Adobe software? AdobeTrainingToronto.com. And do you need a canvas print? Then you need to go to MrPhotoCanvas.com. Toronto's cheapest canvas printing. I'm getting better at that. Right, let's move on. Enough of that shameless shenanigans. What happens in this town when it comes to events? Well, let me tell you, it's a good week for foodies, big time. Two events, we're going to talk about both of them. The first one involves a young lady called Rose Reisman. You may know her from loads of things, like millions, of, well, not millions, but many books and TV. Here's a wee clip of her doing her thing and delivering awareness on telly.
So this comes in at 2280 calories, 2,280 calories.
Wait, that's for all three, right?
For all three,
that's
1.5 days of food for the average woman. Yeah, woman out there said it. 109 grams of fat. I feel my arteries clogging right now as I said that. That's 2 days of fat from the butter and the chocolate.
Wow.
1380 milligrams of sodium. That's a day's worth of sodium. And if you look at the sugar, it's 3/4 of a cup of sugar.
So she's talking there about a bag of popcorn, a giant one. She's talking about a giant soda if you're listening in America, pop if you're listening in Canada. Either way, no matter where you're listening, it's a bucket. And a bag of M&Ms, and she's talking about the ridiculous calorie content. And she goes on to say that actually you can eat a nice, easy diet and go to the cinema and enjoy yourself, but you just don't have to have these gigantic portions. And I think we need more Rose Reismans in the world. In fact, there's no question about it with the spread of diabetes. Hello, Rose.
Hey, Vinny, I love you already.
Oh, you're not too shabby yourself. I was looking at you earlier, and what I like about you is I think there's been some celebrity chefs, historically speaking, that whilst they enjoy and spread the word of decadent food, they don't do it in a very responsible manner. Would you agree with that?
Well, Yeah, I mean, everybody will use the line, everything in moderation, Rose. But you and I know, Vinny, people don't do it in moderation. That's why I've been at this for about 15 years now, to just say, absolutely enjoy your food, but there's different ways to enjoy it. And that's what my business is all about, teaching people to eat well, but still feel as if they're getting the real thing.
You began by self-publishing, even before a lot of people self-published, with a general cookbook in, I think it was late 80s, wasn't it?
Yeah, late 80s, and they were all high-fat, Vinny. Everything was high-fat because that's what tasted good, until my own cholesterol in my 30s went off the Richter scale. And genetically, my family was dying right in front of me of heart disease and diabetes and obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. This was a warning sign to me. Yeah. It didn't matter. I was slim. I was a runner. But 1993, I literally didn't turn back and went towards this healthier way of living, and really proud of it today. Really feel good and raise four great kids who eat well and exercise. And that's what it's all about, the next generation.
Well, you managed somehow to sell that book of which you speak in 93, the one that changed your mind and hopefully many other people. Sold over 400,000 copies.
Yeah.
It's not bad, is it?
Yeah, pretty good. And to date, what's great is my books have always been raising money for breast cancer awareness, research, and education. Books have raised over $1 million, and I've sold about 750,000 cookbooks in this country, which is great. So I think people are listening, and hopefully they'll come to this wonderful event, Eat to the Beat, at the Roy Thompson Hall, and enjoy 60 different chefs, and come by my table and you'll get it really good too.
So let's find out a bit more about this. We spoke about it briefly last week, but I wanted to speak to someone that knows a bit of cooking. And also, for selfish reasons, Rose, the fact of the matter is that I'm going to be there and I want you to feed me up with some of your best stuff. Is that all right?
That sounds good to me. Absolutely.
So this event is celebrating its 19th year. It's Eat to the Beat. It's a massive one for urban foodies such as ourselves. What are people likely to get there? What sort of treats are going to be on offer?
You know, when this started, first of all, it's all female chefs, Vinny. So when it started 19 years ago, like all female chefs then were all pastry people. Mm. You didn't find a lot of women in the roles of chefs. Today, it's really turned around. So at this event, you'll get 70% of savory, delicious appetizers and meal serving sizes, and then you'll get 30% dessert, so quite reversed, and everything from Dufflet to Pauline's to Scaramouche chefs to Wanda Pie in the Sky.
What? To what? Scaramouche chefs?
Scaramouche. I mean, you'll get it all. And
what's that?
And Scaramouche, you know, at the Benvenuto.
Oh, I've never felt so ignorant.
Beautiful, very elegant restaurant, but there's also a pasta and wine bar there. So, I mean, it's really nice to know that female chefs are really controlling a lot of what goes on in Toronto now. So if you come by, there'll be about 700 people all tasting different things at 60 different stations, and the money all benefiting the Willow Breast Cancer and Hereditary Cancer Support, which is really for women who are going through breast cancer, and too many are, as we know. Mm. And this is just a place for them to get emotional support and just to find a way to talk to other people about what they're going through.
Is there booze there?
Yes. Are you coming? There's going to be top-notch wineries and breweries there. Mm. And to date, we've raised about $3.5 million, and 80% goes directly to Willow Support Services.
That is shocking. And we were speaking to Willow last week about some of the fantastic things they do.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think, raising money for breast cancer, whatever. Yeah, well, they haven't been found a cure yet. Yeah, they haven't, but they're well on the way. And in the meantime, the amount of progress that's been made in the last 10 years is phenomenal. And even if you put that aside, organisations like Willow don't just put money into research. They give support for people that are actually suffering for it.
Absolutely.
And make them feel less isolated and better about themselves and the hopeful futures.
Absolutely, Vinny, because what happens is that, you know, we're looking for the cure. Will there ever be a cure? Well, there's so many different cancers involved in breast cancer. And, you know, what we're finding now is we're really getting more specifically targeted medicine to go towards women with breast cancer, which is a huge jump from the generic, which we had 15, 20 years ago. But during the process, we're not all sitting there going, when will the cure come about? You need to live today and need to enjoy today. So, you know, being a part of an organization like Willow is so important so that you can share your experiences with other women who have gone through the same thing.
EatToTheBeat.ca, you say?
That's it. And if you come by my booth, you're going to get a wonderful fall sweet potato quinoa with dried cranberries, a Manitoulin lake trout with crispy kale chips on top. So if that doesn't sound mouth-watering, I don't know what is.
Is it wrong to slobber on a microphone?
Well, go ahead.
Okay, good.
Smack your lips.
What's your favourite food?
You know what? I'm a dessert person. I have to be honest. I love dessert. I could probably have dessert rather than a meal any day. So I'm going to be, you know, often leaving my station to run around to find out where the 30% of the desserts are on Tuesday night.
Yeah. So, final thing I would like to ask is if somebody told me that you want to arrive early. Mm-hmm. Now, I think there's clearly enough food to go around, but it kicks off at 7, runs through till 10.
Right.
So let's assume that all of our loyal listeners have run out, as they rightly should. It's their responsibility to eat to the beat.ca, bought their tickets. Is it worth arriving early so you get all the best nibbles?
I always say it's probably better to arrive like just on time, a few minutes early, because so often if there's a really popular station, the food will go quickly. You'll also avoid massive lineups, which you don't want to get. And usually, you know, the Roy Thomson Hall is so spread out well and holds 700 people beautifully, so you'll never feel that it's really busy. But also, while you're there, there's going to be live music, so you can be dancing up and down the aisles, and there's going to be a silent auction, too.
What are some of the things in the silent auction?
You know, I don't really know, but that's a good thing to point out. Probably my book.
What about, let's go a little bit further than that. What about a date with you?
What are you doing? What night have you got in mind?
Well, hang on, I need to talk about money first.
Okay.
I don't think I can afford you, love, let's be honest.
We'll go for a coffee.
There you go. Secured myself a date in there the name of progress in the area of breast cancer. What's your latest book called?
Latest book is The Best of Rose Reisman.
All right, darling. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you so much, Vinny. Have a great night, and thanks for helping us.
Yeah, I promise you I'll pop by on Tuesday and say hello.
Be fantastic. Please come by my station.
All right, all the best.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Celebrity chef there, Rose Reisman, one of many chefs, 60 female chefs, that are going to be at the fantastic Eat to the Beat event. For more information on absolutely everything we talked about and to go and get those tickets for this Toronto spectacular event, get yourself to eattothebeat.ca. All right, getting good at this, aren't I? It's almost like I'm a professional. If I could just work on this voice, blend in with the others, I reckon I could get myself a proper gig. Text the show on 71010. First text in says, good interview, Vinny. Thanks, Mum. The next one says, Vinny, did you get to the wine cave with Angela? She sounds sexy. She was quite good looking. She's got a fella, you filthy animal. But she was quite good looking. And no, I didn't get to a wine cave, but I will. There's a wine cave near here. She was in last week. She was promoting her Our Yellow Wine Club. It's getting a bit salesy, this, isn't it? OurYellowWineClub.com. When we come back, we talk about another event. No, we're not selling stuff. It's another charity event. Doing the world a favour. As we talk about Community Food Centres Canada and their launch to inaugural Restaurants for Change, a fundraising initiative. And we'll talk about some other stuff that's going on across the world. You're listening to The Vinnie White Show. It happens every week from 9 to 10 here on News Talk 1010. I would say the anchor, the linchpin of fine radio in a terrible, warped world.
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
I have to say that since we've moved to these new studios, one of the things that I like and don't like is all the monitors that are around me all the time. But I don't actually normally watch TV at home, which is why I'm not very down with pop culture. And it all seems a bit ridiculous. But now I've got TVs all around me. You know, is it me or are all the newsreaders in Canada getting sexier? Now, I don't mean more intelligent, because I believe there's a firm correlation against it the other way. But in recent years, they've all gone a bit sexy, haven't they? I don't know if it's... And it's all, like, HD. You'd think they looked a bit ropey. I know they trowel on the makeup. But particularly the CP24, what's happened there? Aren't they in our building? I might pop over there. But, yeah, they're really good looking. I watch a lot of BBC News to keep in touch with home. Different sort of look, to be honest. Although I have to say, they are better at their job, which, by the way, last time I checked, is why I put the news on. Not for soft porn. Nonetheless, that's just me having a rant again. Right, so, how are ya? I've moved to King West. A lot of questions coming in about why I did it. I had to. I've got a business and I had to move it. I ran out of lease on the last place. And I do like it. I know I moan about it. It's really cool. Like, I haven't got any public transport for ages. I walked here tonight. It's brilliant. But it is a different world. that I'm used to, because everyone's really rich around me, which I've never had money or even associated with people that have. So you just hear snippets of conversations every day. Really weird. This morning, as I walked out of my house, I heard a woman say to the other one, yeah, I totally had to fire my dog walker because, like, Snuckles just wasn't being walked properly. It's amazing. Who fires a dog walker? How do you know? How do you know that he wasn't being walked properly? Did he come back looking? Maybe he came back needing the poo. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, it's a new world, King West. Just get yourself down there. All the streets are paved with gold. Food, a beautiful thing. And there's a lot of it here in Toronto. If there's one thing that we do very well, it's restaurants. And one to be very proud of. I would even go so far as to say it's one of the best cities to eat in I've ever been to in the world. It is astonishingly good. Wouldn't it be good if we could have an event where everyone just gets together and doesn't worry about profit for a bit, but promotes groovy, health-conscious eating and change? Well, let me tell you something. That's what's going to happen this week. Hello, Nick.
Pretty big intro there.
I know, it's almost a bit too big, wasn't it? We should have had a drum roll as well to really set it off. Nick Soule's on the phone with me now. He's the CEO and president of CFCC, so that's the Community of Food Centres Canada. And you and a whole heap of other people are going to be launching, relaunching an event, Restaurants for Change. What is Restaurants for Change?
Well, 25 of the best restaurants across the country are coming together in 9 cities to put on dinner that night. And all the proceeds from those dinners go to our work to increase people's access to healthy food. So we have a terrific lineup here in Toronto, Bar Buca, Buca, Buca Yorkville, Edulis, Richmond Station, the Harvard Room and Company, Ruby Watch Co., Drake 150, the St. Tavern. Great crew of people who believe that everyone needs to have access to good food, and their proceeds give oxygen to our work to make that so.
Your work, Community Food Centres of Canada, can be a bit misleading, because when a lot of people hear about food centres, they think, oh, is it a food bank?
Very, very different. A completely different species. I mean, food banks are a place that people line up, get to the front of the line, and be mostly handed an unhealthy hamper of food. And it's a unidimensional approach. Community food centers are about gardens and kitchens and fresh market stands and bake ovens and drop-in dining programs, a broad range of initiatives that help people to meet their basic needs, connect to community resources. And we also do a lot of work speaking out about the structural reasons that drive poverty in this country. It's not that we don't have enough food. We have plenty of food. We throw out 40% of our food. People are hungry because of a low minimum wage, inadequate social assistance rates, unaffordable housing, and the like. So these are dynamic centers that focus on healthy food all the time and support communities to speak out about what needs to change.
Change. I was in North or South Carolina, one of them, the other day, and I have to say, if that's the roadmap for our future, and there is some medical advice that would suggest that it is, after all, we are as a nation getting fatter, we need to be petrified, because some of the people down there were enormous, and it's very hard to actually cast blame on them, because very often we're in a situation increasingly here, particularly in North America with a fast food culture, where cheap food equals crap food. And a lot of people say, well, I would go and buy some carrots and spend hours, but I haven't got time, and it's just not a feasible alternative, particularly when I can go and rob McDonald's and their dollar menu to get a whole family fed for $10. So you understand probably more than anyone in this country their problems. What's the bigger, broader solution then?
Well, I think there's two things. I mean, globally, 1 billion people in this world are going hungry, and 1 billion people in this world are malnourished because they're overnourished. Here in Canada, 4 million of our fellow citizens are food insecure, which means they're not sure where their next meal is going to come from, or they're missing meals so their kids can eat. Mm. And when you look at poverty and health, you notice a very clear correlation between poor health and poverty, diabetes, heart disease and stroke, stress, depression. We collectively pay for this through our healthcare system. I mean, if you take diabetes alone, we spend $12 billion a year on healthcare, on diabetes, and that's a number that's only going in one direction, and that's up. So you're right. If you get trapped in the middle aisles of a supermarket, there's a lot of fat, sugar, and salt in there, and it is not very healthy. And we have, I think, a collective responsibility to start creating spaces that kind of reflect the future we want to see, which is about healthy food, cooking from scratch, and getting back to the basics. And we've kind of lost a lot of that.
Education, then.
I want to be clear, though, because people aren't hungry because they don't know how to cook. People are hungry because they don't have enough income in their pocket to make the decisions they need to make about food.
So what can your organisation do about this? Because as you said at the beginning of this, no, you don't think that food banks are the answer. Well, certainly if they're giving out food that's not legitimate and helpful for their diet. So let's imagine I'm an immigrant. When I arrived here in this country, I was very fortunate, but many aren't. So I come to you and I come to your organisation, Community Food Centre, and you're there and you're there at the door and you say, hello, come on in. Now, I don't know what's going on here. All I know is that I'm hungry and I've heard about your organisation and I want some food. What's going to happen next?
Well, you're going to walk in the door and you're probably going to have the best meal you've ever had in your life. And you're going to look up from that meal and say, wow, there's a whole variety of ways I can get involved in this organization. Because, for example, I'm living in a basement apartment where the walls are coming in on me. I'm working at a job where I'm working hard, but the income doesn't allow me to put good food on the table. And so in our center, we start with the very basic thing. You're going to eat well. And then from that, you're going to connect to resources and start, I hope, collectively through help from our organization to really speak out about what drives vulnerability in the first place. And I've already touched on this. I mean, we need to have social assistance rates, for example, which is kind of the social support of last resort in this province that actually allow people to live with dignity and health. And I think there might be some of your callers who say, well, people who are poor, they're poor because they're poor budgeters or it's a character flaw or a lifestyle choice. And I'll tell you, I've worked in low-income neighborhoods for 20-plus years, and I've never found someone who wants to send their kid to school hungry or put cockroach traps around their kid's crib so that they can have an uninterrupted sleep.
Wow.
People are poor because...
I think it's a lot of people that sit in nice palatial settings with their lovely houses that they may well have worked very hard for, say this to justify their own existence and make themselves feel better about themselves, perhaps.
Perhaps, but look, I mean, it's coming up in the mayoralty election. I mean, we have communities that don't know each other. I mean, Rosedale doesn't know what's happening in Rexdale, and same goes for Lawrence Park and Lawrence Heights. I mean, that's a real problem, and that plays out in all sorts of ways.
Okay, Nick. Listen, I really appreciate the work you're doing. I would like to talk to you longer, but I just haven't got the time. Restaurants for Change, one night, 9 cities, 25 restaurants, one goal: to generate awareness among Canadians about the critical need for a healthy and equitable food system in the country. For example, we've got Corey Vitello, the chef and owner at THR & Co., and all those other restaurants that we mentioned earlier participating on Wednesday. Where can they go for tickets very quickly?
Restaurantsforchange.ca. An amazing website. Corey, for example, is an amazing chef. Incredible group of chefs. Get out there, take your friends, book it today.
Boom. Thanks, pal.
Thanks. Cheers.
We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1010.
This is the Fenny White Show on In-Depth Radio. News Talk 1010.
Just time to look at our regular feature, Naked Man in America. Naked Man in America this week goes to... a guy that was found, this is so weird, right? He was found on a farmer's property. He'd claimed he'd been beaten, but he wasn't sure about this. He was completely naked in a ravine. And then when asked what he was doing there by the farmer, he said, I actually really don't know. Last thing I can remember, I was at a festival. Turns out that festival was 4 days before. He'd been walking around the woods for 4 days with his... gentlemen's excuse me hanging out, surprising some bears along the way, eating berries and drinking water from streams. He's said to be recovering well now. Little tip for you, just lay off the old drugs a wee bit, you know, just calm it down a bit. Take it from us here in Toronto. Our mayor wrote the rules. See you next week.